Can you bring this up a little bit for me? A little bit more. Thank you. A couple of things I want to remind you of is don't forget tonight, if you have prayer requests, put them on our Let's Pray wall. Most of our prayer requests are gone. That's a good sign. That means everybody's being prayed for, but you can put those up there. And also, men, remember Valentine's banquet right here. It's what we do. It's all ages of our couples, and also our widows and widowers are invited to be the Valentine of the church. And so sign up. Make sure you sign up. We've had a great group. We do it in here every Valentine's, and it'll be a special time. And I hope you'll be a part of that as we think about marriage and some of the special things God wants to say to us about our married life. So Daniel chapter 2, tonight before we're going to focus on Daniel, a man who lived in a pagan world. I think it's important for us to do this study, and if you have the notes, you'll see what I'm talking about. If you don't have the notes, they're at the back, and you can pick one up on as you can. The outline I'll have up here on the screen, go ahead and put the outline up if you will, and you'll see the outline, but it doesn't have all the detail. I want us to do this because I want you, before we go to Daniel chapter 2, I want you to begin reading in Daniel chapter 1. And I'd like to read beginning in verse number 3. Then the king ordered the chief of his officials to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youths in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, who had ability for serving in the king's court, and he ordered him to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. Daniel and, as we know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these four men were among those young men. The estimate on their age is, you know, is among Bible people, Bible scholars, and who, you know, we it's an estimate of these men from the age of 16 maybe to 18. We don't know much, but they were young. They were youths. They were called in. They were brought to a completely different culture than the culture of the nation of Israel. Their ability to study the Word of God, their opportunity to be to have the experience of their homeland was gone. They were taken away, and now they find themselves in Babylon, the pagan capital of the world, and they were now immersed in the pagan world. They were immersed in the pagan world. They learned the pagan world, but we discover that though they learned it, they did not believe what was forced upon them as use in order to do slave service for the greatest king of the time, and that is Nebuchadnezzar, who was famous. I'm saying all that to say that we live with the same challenge today, every one of us. It has not changed for God's people. And that is, how do we learn to live in the world and not be of the world? This is the great challenge. This is the step we all have to learn to take. It's what we're all here to do as we follow Jesus as a part of this church. And as we study God's Word, as we seek to follow Jesus, we're learning to live like Jesus in the world, but not of the world. So this is a very important step tonight. I want us to see Daniel not only as a prophet, we're going to see that in the days ahead, but I want you to see Daniel as a man of God, a man who lived in holiness, who lived in separation, while he was in the middle of a pagan world, a world that he couldn't control, by the way. We have a lot more choices in the pagan world we live in than Daniel had. But I want us to see and appreciate this holy man, this young man who followed God. And the model and the picture in God's word here, there are so many big lessons around this, and these are the four I want to give. Before we get into the text, I want to just make four observations about the book of Daniel and how powerful it is for us. Number one observation is that the book of Daniel teaches us that God's faithful people are scattered all over the pagan world. The world is a world of paganism. We do not tonight expect the people who live in the United States of America to just act like saved, born-again people. They're not. Unless they're born again, they're not born again. The culture in which we live, the values in which people have, their desires on what they want to live and how they want to live out their lives is all lived out of a pagan, wicked lostness of people who do not know Jesus. So it's always been this way. And the Old Testament teaches us this. We learn this principle from all of these great characters and these who are our forefathers who've gone before us in the faith. God's faithful people live among unbelievers, in a world filled with unbelievers and the values of unbelievers. And they, secondly, God's people, the book of Daniel teaches us, God's faithful people are the minority. We're not the majority. Will we ever be? We're the remnant, as sometimes the prophets called the nation of Israel. A remnant out of the nation of Israel that did not even believe. So the book of Daniel teaches us that God's faithful people are living in the pagan world, just like us, are the minority. And also the book of Daniel teaches us that God's faithful people are used by God for His purposes in a pagan world. So tonight, every one of us who are followers of Jesus, you and I are blessed to be used by God, scattered all over this part of the world in which we live, here in Middle Tennessee, among people who have their own ways, their own ideas about God, which most of the time have nothing to do with the Word of God, nothing to do with Jesus and following Him. So God places His people in the middle of a pagan world to be used by God for His purposes. That's the book of Daniel. This is, and the last thing is very important. The book of Daniel teaches us, and this is where I want to try to illustrate this tonight from chapter 2. Teaches us that God's purpose in the world, in the pagan world, God's purpose in the world is to be known and glorified by a pagan world. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is what? Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So the day will come when universally the world will bow and confess Jesus as Lord. Well, we're going to see some strange things here. Imagine this oddity. The greatest king in this time period, I mean truly, Nebuchadnezzar was the greatest king in the world, the controller of all nations. The greatest king in all the world is going to humble himself and kneel at the feet of a Jewish slave boy in this chapter. The greatest king of paganism in his time is going to bless and praise the true God of heaven in this chapter. So we're going to discover some very powerful things here about this. And so next week we'll focus on chapter 2, the dream. And we'll take our first plunge into prophecy and what we'll be doing with that. But we're not ready for that yet. Daniel was qualified by God and equipped by God to be able to give these prophecies. We saw 2 weeks ago, whenever we met, however many long time it's been, we saw that in chapter 1, God blessed Daniel and gifted these young men to be faithful to serve the Lord. So now we come in chapter 2 to the impossible dream interpretation. The greatest king in the world had a dream. He was troubled about it, and he expected his astrologers and magicians and wise men of Chaldea to interpret his dream and tell him what the dream was. And they were having trouble doing it. And I want to pick up, before we start reading through the sections, I want to go to verse 10 of chapter 2. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, "There is not a man on earth who can declare the matter for the king, inasmuch as no great king or ruler has ever asked anything like this of any magician, conjurer, or Chaldean. Moreover, the thing which the king demands is difficult, and there is no one else who could declare it to the king except gods, whose dwelling place is not with mortal flesh." So we have an impossible dream that none of the wise men of the world, the pagan world, could interpret for the king. And they declared, "There's no man who can declare and tell you your dream and interpret it. And only these things can come from God." Now, with that in mind, we go back and we look at faithful Daniel in pagan Babylon. First of all, I want you to see again what we talked about last week, 2 weeks or whenever, however it was, whenever we met. Daniel lived by biblical convictions while living in a pagan world. The same thing is true today. So why do we study the Word of God? Why do we gather in this place? Why do we have Bible study? Why do we learn the Word of God? Why do we equip ourselves to do what we do? We equip ourselves so that we develop a set of convictions and values that are based upon God's Word and what God expects us to do versus what we were all born into this world being taught and trained to do and believe. Biblical conviction comes as we walk with God, follow Jesus, and hear the Word of God. So we saw in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So Daniel, even down to his diet, Daniel determined that he was going to only eat in a way that would glorify God. So when we think about living in a pagan world like Daniel, you have to ask yourself the same question. Are there things, and they may seem very small, are there things that the world is calling on me to do that I need to stop doing? Daniel said, "We'd like to just eat vegetables and drink water. We don't want all the fancy food of the king. And you test us and see if we're right." So I say that to say, are there some things in your life that tonight, even tonight, cause you to be pulled back into worldly kinds of thinking, worldly ways, values that push against everything the Lord's calling you to do? What are they? Have you made some choices, and are you living by a set of biblical convictions? I'm saying that to a group of people here, many of you older. I don't assume just because you're old you've got convictions that are biblical. I mean, no offense. I just don't. Convictions aren't based on your age. Convictions are based on you sitting down and saying, "This is what I will do and this is what I will not do," based on the Word of God and what I believe in order to be obedient to Jesus. Secondly, Daniel lived with respect and honored the authorities of the pagan world. You remember what we learn from Peter, the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter. He talks about we are to honor the king. We're to show respect, you know, what Paul teaches us, to obey the authorities of the government. You remember Paul was writing in a day when he was living under Roman authority. The Romans were not the easiest people to get along with. And so in that time period, we have a lot more flexibility. We criticize and complain in America sometimes a little bit too much when we compare it to some of our brothers and sisters who followed the Lord in past times. Nevertheless, we find these beautiful words. We find that Daniel says, you know, he sought permission, chapter 1, verse 8, from the commander to not eat the food. He sought permission. He sought to humble himself and submit himself to a pagan authority who was asking him to do something. In chapter 2, verse 14, Daniel comes and he replies with discretion and discernment to Arioch, the captain of the king's bodyguards, who was going out to kill all the wise men of Babylon, including Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. They were included in the wise men. He was sent, Arioch was sent to kill all the wise men. King wasn't real happy. So he's kill them all. But you notice, again, Daniel lives with respect and honors the authorities. And I love the phrase, then Daniel replied with discretion and discernment. When we live in this world, there are lots of times authorities ask us to do things that are not pleasing to what we believe we ought to be doing as followers of Jesus. But it's the way in which we respond. Daniel responded with discretion and discernment. And I think that's a lesson for us. Daniel lived without fear, trusting God in a pagan world. So let's go back now and read. Now in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His spirit was troubled and his sleep left him. Then the king gave orders to call in the magicians and the conjurers, the sorcerers and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dream. So they came in and stood before the king. The king said, I had a dream and my spirit is anxious to understand the dream. Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic. And I must pause here. Now this is such a tremendous, it's a little thing, but it's really important. And I don't want to get too technical, but you need to see this. Now notice in your Bible, then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic. Remember, the Old Testament is written and given to us in the, from the Hebrew language. We're reading an English translation that comes from the Hebrew language. But now we discover, this is so very important, from chapter 1 of Daniel all the way through till chapter 2, verse 3, has been written in Hebrew. Now all of a sudden, the book, Daniel he changes to the language of the world. He changes, and the book of Daniel from chapter 2, verse 4, through chapter 7, verse 28, is written not in Hebrew, but in Aramaic, the language of the world. Because this is so good. God has something to say to the world in their own language and in their own way. So we must pay attention as we study this portion of Daniel. We're reading it as it was given. We're reading it in English, but it was translated from Aramaic. So the Chaldeans speak to their king, they speak to him in their language, in their language of business and commerce. It was their language. So he said, they say, tell the dream to your servants and we will declare the interpretation. So remember, God has something to say to the pagan world in their own language. That's going to become very important as we study the prophecies and the interpretation and the dreams of Daniel and what he does. The king replied to the Chaldeans, the command from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you'll be torn limb from limb and your houses will be made a rubbish heap. But if you declare the dream and its interpretation, you'll receive from me gifts and a reward and great honor. Therefore, declare to me the dream and its interpretation. They answered a second time, let the king tell the dream to his servants, and we will declare the interpretation. The king replied, I know for certain that you are bargaining for time, inasmuch as you have seen that the command from me is firm. In other words, I'm changing my mind. that if you do not make the dream known to me, there is only one decree for you. For you have already agreed together to speak lying and corrupt words before me until the situation is changed. Therefore, tell me the dream that I may know that you can declare to me its interpretation. Then we read the words, no man on earth can declare these words. Only God could give you these things. It has to come from God. Verse 12, because of this, the king became indignant, furious. He gave orders to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. The decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they looked for Daniel and his friends to kill them. Then we saw Daniel replies with discretion to Arioch, the king, and he says to him, he said to Arioch, the king's commander, for what reason is the decree from the king so urgent? Arioch informed Daniel about the matter. Now we notice on our outline, Daniel lived without fear, trusting in God in a pagan world. So Daniel went in and requested the king that he would give him time in order that he might declare the interpretation to the king. What courage, what trust. Daniel lived by trusting in God. The king was killing all the wise men. Daniel's included in them, and yet now Daniel asked for time. And so we think about how we live in our world, not afraid. It still amazes me how many times I hear Christians talk about how afraid they are living in this world. Do you trust God or the government? Who do you trust? You must put your trust in the Lord in the midst of the wickedness of paganism. There are no long-term answers found in the world system. So Daniel, without fear, goes back and notice what he does. He went to his house and he informed, notice, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Remember now, we're reading this in Aramaic. Who is this? It's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember, these are their pagan names they were given. Their names were changed. He goes back and tells them about the matter. And then I want you to notice Daniel practiced prayer in a pagan world. He was a man of prayer so that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. They prayed for God's compassion, protection, and mercy in the midst of a world that would seek to destroy them. You know, Daniel was a man of prayer. We're going to see this again later. Before the lion's den, but I'll read it to you now. Daniel 6:10. Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing previously. Daniel practiced prayer in a pagan world. So now, in a real circumstance, life and death situation in this pagan world, their lives were in the hands of this king. Daniel and his friends go to prayer. What do we do when we feel afraid in a pagan world? What resources do we call on? What people do we try to rally to our help? Daniel went with his 4 friends and they all prayed. They prayed in the midst of a pagan world. And so it's important for us to see his pattern. He worshiped the Lord in a pagan world. In 19 through 23, I want to come back to it in a moment. We see Daniel, because the mystery is revealed today. God answers his prayer, verse 19. And in a night vision, Daniel receives the same dream, and then he blesses God, and we'll come back to that in a minute. Daniel boldly stands for God in a pagan world. In verses 24, Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and spoke to him, "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me into the king's presence, and I will declare the interpretation to the king." Then Arioch hurriedly brought Daniel into the king's presence and spoke to him as follows. Now, isn't this just like a government official? I don't know if you caught, I haven't read it yet. Isn't this just like a government official? "I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can make the interpretation known to the king." He didn't find anybody. But that's a government official for you. He wanted to make sure he didn't get his head cut off also. The king said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation?" Daniel answered before the king and said, "As for the mystery about which the king has inquired..." Now notice, this is my point about boldly stand. He's standing, not in a day like ours. This is not a world we're used to. I've said this to you before. The ancient world of a king who was in absolute control and in absolute control of life and death is a very powerful place to stand. Daniel, this Jewish youth, stands in the presence of this king on behalf of the Lord. And he says, "As for the mystery about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, conjurers, magicians, diviners are able to declare it to the king. However, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days." And that's going to be a very important phrase. "This was the dream and the visions in your mind while you were on your bed. As for you, O king, while on your bed, your thoughts turn to what take place in the future. And he who reveals mysteries has made known to you what will take place." He witnesses for God in a pagan world. Look at his humility in verse 30. "But as for me, this mystery has not been revealed to me for any wisdom residing in me more than any other living man, but for the purpose of making the interpretation known to the king, and that you may understand the thoughts of your mind." And then we discover, after this dream is given, that the king honors Daniel. Verse 46, "The king Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and did homage to Daniel." I said it before, the greatest king of the season of time fell on his face at the feet of Daniel, this slave, Jewish slave. I want you to see that. It's a picture of what happens in the world. There's a time when the nations of the world will all humble themselves before the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a time coming where there's going to be a big shift and change. And the kingdoms of this world will submit themselves to the authority of the Lord Jesus and to God. Daniel, he's given orders, the king gives orders for him to have all these presents, and the king answers Daniel, and we'll see in just a moment, he praises the name of God. So I want us to go back now and look at Daniel's blessing of the name of God. What do we see here in chapter 2? We see in Daniel chapter 2 this amazing picture of the greatest world leader in total humility before God's servant, and how the Lord is honored through this experience of one believer, one follower of God in the midst of a pagan world. How much can you do for the Lord? Well, I want to remind us all of what the Lord said to us in the Sermon on the Mount, where we learn so much about how we're to live for the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 5:13, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." Saltiness, you know distinctiveness, you know, you've heard all the sermons. Salt, uniqueness, preservative, saltiness. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine." This is the verse. "Let your light shine before men." Where? In the world. "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." And we now have a classic example of the greatest king in the world, who was an absolute pagan, glorifying the true God because of Daniel's interpretation of the dream. So now let's go back and look for a moment, because I want us to make this a matter of prayer tonight and praise to the Lord. Daniel's blessing of the name of God. This is in Daniel chapter 2, beginning in verse number 19. "Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. He had to wait in order to determine whether God would say anything to him or not, or show compassion. So Daniel now blessed the God of heaven. Daniel said, 'Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever.'" And I bring you back to Sunday morning. Jesus said, "When you pray, here's how you pray. Our Father who is in heaven, let your name be made holy. Hallowed be thy name. May your name be holy." And what does Daniel do? He begins by praising and honoring. We know now, we know this. This is a Wednesday night group. I know who's in here. We know the name, when the Word of God talks about the name of God, it's describing the character of God. The way God, how He works, His holy love, His holy patience, His holy grace, His holy kindness. It's the holiness of God in all of His character. "Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever." There are seven words or seven phrases of praise here that Daniel gives, and I want us to use each one of them, and we're going to pause for a moment, and we're going to praise the Lord privately. I'm going to lead us through it, and we're going to honor the Lord tonight for these words that Daniel gives, because they're just as true today as they were for Daniel. In fact, for us, they even have greater fulfillment, because we know that in these last days, God has spoken to us in His Son. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one we follow. He is the one we submit to. He is the one we surrender to as Lord of all. So as we say these words, we speak of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So let's bow our heads. David, bless the God of heaven. Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever. Let's pause. Heavenly Father, may your name be made holy in this world, as Jesus taught us to pray. May your name be made holy in our lives. May your name be blessed forever and ever. When we're all gone, when we all are in the grave and no longer our tongue can speak, we are with you. But Lord, we pray each generation by generation until the end of all things, may your name be blessed. May your name be blessed forever and ever. Secondly, Daniel says, "For wisdom and power belong to him." So we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you, as Paul says, you have become wisdom and righteousness and sanctification for us. You are the wisdom of God. You are the power of God. We honor you and glorify you, Lord, for your great wisdom and power. And we thank you for your wisdom and power. Your wisdom and power you have given to us by the blessed Holy Spirit. But we honor you tonight and praise you for your wisdom and your power. Some of us don't see your wisdom and power at work in our lives. We complain. We worry. We're afraid. We forget that your name will be blessed forever and ever. And Lord, that you work in your ways and your power moves even to this hour in the world. And we praise you for it. Daniel prays, it is he who changes the times and the epochs. He's the one who changes the times and the seasons of life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the one who starts all things and ends all things. Lord Jesus, you are the beginning, you are the end. There is a time for all things and a purpose for all things under heaven. You raise up kingdoms and governments and nations and you bring them down. All things are in your hands, all of time, all are controlled by you. We honor you in your sovereign control of all nations, all work, all that goes on in our world. Daniel goes on. He removes kings and establishes kings. We thank you, Lord, tonight that you remove kings and you establish kings. You use all the governments of the world for your purposes, just as you were using Nebuchadnezzar to judge Israel and to accomplish your purposes. We thank you tonight, Lord, that the governments of the world and the government of the United States is in your hands. And we thank you for that. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. We thank you, Lord, that you have shared wisdom and understanding with us when we submit ourselves to you, when we pray, when we seek your face and your word and listen to you and allow the Holy Spirit to teach us. We gain wisdom beyond our years, just like Daniel, and understanding beyond our experience. And we thank you for that. He reveals the hidden things. We thank you, Lord, that you are the revealer in your word of the profound and hidden things. We do not understand why things are crooked and not straight. We do not understand why there is suffering that cannot seem to end. We do not understand these hidden riddles all around us, but you are the one who reveals. You're the revealer. You reveal through your word what it is you want us to understand and you show us. You are the revealer. He knows what is in the darkness and the light dwells with him. You are the one. There is no darkness in you. We honor you, Lord. You are the light of the world, Lord Jesus. And in you all the light comes. And we thank you for that. We thank you that you are the one who knows what is in the darkness and you dwell in the light, the glorious light of life. And Lord, we thank you for coming and being the light of life. And that we who have come to know Jesus, you've brought us out of the dark. We found our way to you and we've been saved so that we can now walk in the light and be a light to other people. And Daniel prays, he gives to those who ask in prayer. Daniel says in verse 23, to you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise. We give thanks and praise to you, God, our Father. We thank you for sending Jesus and the Holy Spirit of God to dwell in us and to guide us. And so we give thanks and praise to you tonight. For you have given wisdom and power to us. Help us to see it and know it. Just as you gave it to Daniel. We are followers of Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit of God permanently in our lives. We have the opportunity to live by your wisdom and power. Help us to live as those kind of people. Even now you have made known to us what we have requested. And we thank you, Lord, just like for Daniel, you answer our prayers. So we see Daniel's sevenfold blessing of God. I would encourage you at times to pray that prayer. Daniel gives then the He gives then the dream beginning in verse 31. He gives the interpretation beginning in verse 36. We'll talk all about this next week. And then we find the king saying in verse 47, "Surely your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, since you have been able to reveal this mystery." It was a dream. This man, this ancient king, this pagan king, how many times have you sat with people, even in our world, who base their life on a dream? They base their life on the position of stars. They base their life based on some kind of silly, accidental luck kind of thinking. They base their lives, as I told this church one time, I'll never forget it, a man who did not know Jesus. I was speaking with him after his wife had tragically died, and he took a picture of some clouds and said, "Look, don't you see her? There's my wife. She's going to guide me in the days ahead." This is our world. That was spoken to me in Dixon, Tennessee, not when I lived in California. Not when I lived in Colorado. That was spoken to me right here where there are churches all over this place, where we think that everybody knows Jesus. They don't. A man trying to find his way, thinking that his wife is in a cloud giving him direction. And this pagan king, all he knew was to dream. He had no more understanding of the amazing writings of the Old Testament, all of the prophets, all of the Word of God, all the law of God, all that Daniel carried with him. There's no discussion. "Now, Daniel, tell me about the Hebrew scriptures." "Just tell me my dream. Just tell me my dream." Because even kings, if you read it in verse number one, he was troubled and could not get a good night's sleep. Going to be a whole lot of people in Dixon County that can't sleep very well tonight, because they're afraid, because they're troubled, because they don't know what direction to go. So we have now this beautiful honor and glory to God. Not only does Daniel glorify and praise God, are you listening? But the greatest king of this period of time, the King of Kings, says, "Your God is the King of Kings and the God of gods," including his gods. So how do we end tonight? Quickly, I want you just to see. Jesus prayed for his followers, that's us, and how we're to live in the world. If you look in John 17, I want to remind you of some things most of you know. You know, most of the time preaching is not giving you something you don't know. Did you know that? It is reminding you of what you already know, but bringing it back to your memory. Did you know that's what I do? I don't bring up much new. I just remind you and remind myself of what we've already been taught, but we sometimes forget it. Jesus, in his prayer, when he was seeking to speak with the Father before his life was to be taken on the cross, he said, John 17, 15, "I do not..." This is the prayer that's still being answered this very hour. This is the prayer that's continually being answered for all of God's people until our time is up. Jesus said, "I do not ask that you take them out of the world." Oh, if we think, if Jesus would have just put us in a safe place so we didn't have to worry about the world and what it does to our kids and our grandkids and to us, the Lord didn't take us out of the world. "But keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And as you have sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world." Our apostle John, whom we love so much, he said many things about the world. I'll remind you of just a few of them tonight as we finish, because this is our application. We've seen Daniel in his pagan world. Now what about us in ours? Jesus said, "I pray that you'll protect them in the world." So we have the prayer of Jesus to protect us and the Word of God to sanctify us and protect us. If we'll stay in God's Word, He protects us. John reminds us in 1 John 2, verse 15, I'll just read it. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. John goes on to say in 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Verse 19 of chapter 5, we know that we are of God and that the whole world, are you listening tonight to the Word of God? The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. So we find ourselves living in a world under the power of what Jesus called the devil, the god of this world. And then we finally finish with Peter's words. Remember these words. We know them. We've heard them. We've grown up hearing them. Many of you have heard preachers preach on these words. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 14. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So may the Lord give us wisdom tonight as we all leave this place. This is a special place. We come here and we're somewhat sheltered from the world. But then we get in our cars and we go back and we're scattered. And tomorrow you face it. You hear it. You see it. You're troubled by it. But we must remember Daniel and remember that our Lord has prayed for us so that we might live in the same way and honor the Lord and let our light shine for Him in this world. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You that You give us direction for life. We thank You for the example of Daniel. May we seek to live in our world as